Welcome to the ReGreen podcast. In this podcast series, we will explore the concept of nature-based solutions, the so-called NBS. The aim of the ReGreen research project is to accelerate the crucial transition toward equitable, green and healthy cities in Europe and in China by integrating nature as part of urban development. We will talk with experts from academia and businesses in the field to get an understanding of the international research, technologies and innovations, and the possibilities in a nature-based economy. Today's host is Marie-Yvonne Dalfeldt from Intergreen.
Welcome to episode 8 of the ReGreen podcast. This time, our focus will shift continents as we explore Yualil, Beijing. As you all know, Beijing is the capital city of the People's Republic of China. Beijing is a huge, populous city of 22 million inhabitants. This episode will explore the green side of Beijing, because Beijing does indeed have a green side, and this green side is much bigger than most of us could imagine. So what is the green focus of Beijing? Which climate challenges is Beijing facing? And how do they use nature to face these challenges? And, most importantly, how do they manage to put so much green into such a populous city? To accompany us in our discovery of the Chinese capital, I have the pleasure to present to you Professor in Ecology, Jun Yang. Jun, will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jun Yang. I'm a professor in the Department of Earth System Science at Tsinghua University in China. I'm doing teaching and research, and urban greening is one of my major research focus.
What kind of projects are you personally working on at the moment?
My major research on nature-based solutions include several aspects. First, I'm looking at how to make the green space more, you know, biodiversity friendly. A lot of trees has been planted, but in some places use monoculture, so only one or two species, or you know, the same size trees. So they are not very friendly to the animals. And so while my research focus is to make them, to improve the site and to try to attract and support higher biodiversity. And then my second focus is on quantify the ecosystem services generated by the nature-based solution sites. Because only when you can tell the government that how much you can get from those NBS, then they will say, well, I will spend this amount of money on this project, rather than to build a new engineering project to solve this problem. And also, I'm trying to work with citizen scientists, trying to convey this idea of nature-based solution to them, and also mobilize them to help me to do this kind of work. So that's what I'm doing now with the nature-based solutions.
Where does your personal interest in nature and biodiversity come from?
Well, yeah, it's a family business because my father, he's a forester, and I grew up in a forested area, so I know plants and I know all those animals.
All right, thank you. I'm looking very much forward to learning more about the green side of Beijing. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about the city?
You probably know that Beijing is the capital city of China. It's a huge city. It has a permanent resident population of 22 million. And most of them live in the built-up area, so which is about 1,500 square kilometers. So although the administrative area of Beijing is 16,000 square kilometers, the built up is 10% of it. And about 60% of Beijing is mountain area. Most urban land and cropland concentrate in the rest 38% of the plain area. So that's the basic situation of Beijing.
According to the World Health Organization, WHO, every city is recommended to provide a minimum of 9 square meters of urban green space for each person. In ReGreen, we have 6 ULLs, urban living labs, and in the ULL Paris region that we visited in episode 4 of the podcast, the green space per inhabitant is 15 square meters. In Beijing, the green space per inhabitant is 21 square meters per person. To be honest, I was surprised when I learned this number. As you said, Beijing has experienced a very rapid urbanization from 3.8 million inhabitants in 2000 to 21.7 million inhabitants in 2016. So an increase of 8 million inhabitants in just 16 years, and an urban area that has tripled. Tell me, Jun, how has Beijing managed to keep this high level of green space per inhabitant despite the rapid urbanization?
Because every year, green space in Beijing just keep increase. It may be an old number, 21. Actually, when later I tell you the number of the green spaces and the trees in Beijing, you probably will be more impressed.
All right then. I guess we'll keep waiting in suspense. Let's begin somewhere else. Why is Beijing part of ReGreen?
Well, I think that's a good question. Beijing is leading the Chinese cities in using nature-based solutions to address its environmental problems. Due to the rapid urbanization in the last 3 decades we just mentioned, Beijing is facing many environmental problems. For example, the urban flooding problem. During a big rainstorm in 2012, dozens of people were killed by the flash floods. So Beijing has invested significant resources to address those environmental challenges. And a natural-based solution are giving a very high priority because of the multiple benefits and also the Chinese philosophy of living harmoniously with nature. So I think those are probably the main reasons why Beijing is part of this ReGreen research project.
Can you please develop further on these urban challenges that Beijing is facing?
Beijing is actually faced serious challenges from the climate change. Important are warmer climate and more extreme weather events. So in 2018, a paper published in a Natural Communication project that the entire North China Plain will face those deadly heat waves in the future. And even in the worst situation, no people can live here. So Beijing is part of this North China Plain. So on top of this, warming trend project, for the future climate, we also have the urban heat island, which is due to the large impervious surface area. So that makes the situation worse. In addition to the warming environment, more extreme weather events are expected. For example, we expect more extreme raining events. It can cause flooding problems. At the same time, Beijing is facing a water shortage problem, and we have a huge population that consume lots of water. The city has to get water from 1,000 kilometers away by using those mega engineering projects. So therefore, we need NBS to cool our city and to reduce the stormwater runoff and lead the water down to replenish the groundwater reservoir.
We now have a good impression of the major urban challenges of Beijing. The question now is, what is done in Beijing to face these challenges?
Beijing has implemented large-scale greening projects in the last decade. Just give you some numbers. So between 2012 and 2016, about 70,000 hectares of trees have been planted. So that's about 50 million trees. And another round of afforestation is happening right now. So between 2018 and 2022, the government is going to plant another 70,000 hectares of trees, grasslands, and wetlands. And also Beijing has implemented the Spongy City Program and also the National Forest City Program together. A city can be granted the title of National Forest City if the total forest cover, the distribution and the composition of the urban forest in the city meet certain standards. So far, China has 194 national forest cities, and Beijing is committed to become one of them.
A sponge city program, you say? That sounds very interesting. Can you please explain what a sponge city is?
Okay, sponge city here means the city will try to use those nature elements such as the green infrastructure, include green spaces and those natural remnants in the city. And also the blue space means those water bodies to reduce the storm water runoff and store water on site, and also to replenish the groundwater reservoir. So to make the entire city like a sponge, just to absorb the rainwater.
All those projects you're doing, they all sound very large. Do you have any small scale or experimental projects going on as well?
Well, there are many of them actually. So small scale nature-based solutions such as rain gardens, bioswales, and also they're called parked parks. That means very small parks inside residential areas. All those has been implemented in Beijing, put on the ground. Yeah, actually I forgot to mention they are testing the idea of build urban forest in the center, in the city center. So they have already built up several pilot sites inside the city center, just like a forest.
It sounds like Beijing can manage both very big scale projects, and at the same time, you're not afraid to try new things. What would you say are the priorities in Beijing?
In Beijing, we identified biodiversity, heat mitigation, and water flow management as the priorities. Because those are challenges that we are facing now. So to address those challenges, we're trying to come up with ways first to quantify the contribution of the existing NBS, and also to identify places where we can put more NBS, or we can improve the existing NBS and make suggestions to the urban planning and the design process to address those problems. And also in this process, we're trying to engage the local governments and also the public to work together to build the NBS on the ground.
Which role do the citizens play in the development and implementation of the green spaces in Beijing?
Citizens, they are actively involved in the planning and also the implementing process. It's an official requirement that the managing agency to seek input from the public at the planning stage. Even though the public involvement in this planning process is not as always effective and need to be stringent, but there's a channel existing there. And also the citizens volunteer their time to planting trees, like during the Arbor Days, they go out and plant the trees. And also they help to take care of all those natural place. For example, to protect those planted trees and green spaces from the vandalism. There are people that are really active to do this.
So the citizens of Beijing, they feel a big ownership for the nature in the city?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the experience, to tell people, stop, don't pick up that flower, it's for everybody. So yeah, we do feel that.
We were talking about how the citizens of Beijing are part of the greening of the city, how they feel ownership for the city nature. How do residents in Beijing use nature in their everyday life? What nature do they have access to?
Residents in Beijing in general, they enjoy the nature around them. According to one of our study, most people will use the green space near their residence for recreational activities, such as exercise and walking dogs. So if you come to Beijing in spring and fall, the two best seasons, you will be surprised to find how many people are in parks to enjoy the nature. So as more families own cars, they also explore landscapes that are at driving distance.
Is there a big demand for more city nature by the citizens?
Yeah, we found through our studies that Beijing citizens in general, they notice that Beijing is getting greener. However, they want more green space that are easy to access and are well maintained. And now they are also pay attention to the blue space, which means the water space in Beijing. So they want to see the improvement of the water qualities of lakes and rivers in Beijing. And more and more people are not satisfied with just there's a green space. They want a green space with life. That is, to support the biodiversity. They don't want just see an empty lawn with those nicely cut grass, but there's no life. So they want to see those birds and small animals. So actually they are not only demand more nature, but also a better nature.
In episode 4 of the podcast about ULL Paris, I interviewed hydraulic engineer Eric Chanal. He said that the biggest problem with nature-based solutions is that people don't understand nature-based solutions and what they can do. Do you experience this challenge also?
I think Beijing faces less challenges because it has a very highly educated population. So we have more than 90 universities, and most people here they have a college degree, and so those ideas of nature is good can be easily conveyed to them, and they can be easily persuaded based on their education, natural education received in the school. So Beijing residents in general, they like nature, and they are aware of the other benefits of nature, except for providing recreational opportunities. So they know that trees in cities can help to reduce urban heat island intensity and also to clean air pollution. It's a big deal here, and also to control storm water.
Speaking of the power of nature, I've heard that the citizens of Beijing, well, the Chinese in general, use a concept of forest medicine?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's more an idea from Japan and Korea. In those suburban areas where we have very nice forests, the government is developing sites that can be used for the forest medicine. So basically, when a people go there, a person goes there, they will be first get a physical exam, and a doctor or someone with proper training will prescribe which kind of a forest road the person should take. So normally like between 60 or 90 minutes of work. And after the person take the work in the forest, and his or her body situation will be re-examined. And by doing this, it's more like a prescription. It's just like a medicine to help people to fight disease like mental illness or distress, stress. So this is currently practiced in Beijing.
It sounds like the Chinese have a very special relation to nature. How has nature traditionally been a part of life in Beijing and in China?
Chinese hold a philosophy of living harmoniously with nature. In Beijing, in the history, Beijing used to be a place with abundant forests and wetlands. For example, the famous Summer Palace and also the Yuanmingyuan Park were built up on wetlands. However, since the Second Opium War in 1856, Beijing entered a long period of turmoils and wars. And the natural environment has had been damaged terribly in this period. So by 1949, the forest coverage in the mountain area is only 1.3%. And the entire urban area only had 14,000 street trees. Now the forest coverage in mountain area has reached 58%. And the urban green space coverage, as I just mentioned, reached 51%. So I think those numbers speaks Beijing's attitude towards nature.
Do you think there's a big difference between how European countries and Beijing think about greening projects and city nature?
I don't believe there are fundamental differences. Probably the only difference is the scale. So anything in China, if it has been proved to be working, it will be rapidly deployed in a large scale. Probably in a European city, they take a step-wise approach and be more cautious.
Okay, so in Beijing and in China, it works a little faster.
Yeah, everything works fast here.
Well, that's what we need when it comes to reacting to climate challenges and building resilient cities. I can see that you have done part of your studies in the US. Did you get the perception that there is a big mental difference between how US citizens and Chinese people perceive nature?
Well, this is a very challenging question. mental difference? Actually, I see mental similarity. American people, they love nature. They love all those outdoor events. When I was in the US, I often went out with my friends to do, you know, camping and the trekking and you know, all those outdoor things. In China, you know, the people, they also love nature, but maybe in a slightly less active way. So they want like to, you know, walk in the nature and enjoy the environment quietly and not so active, just like my American friends, you know, rock climbing and camping fires. So more similarities and less, you know, difference in terms of attitude towards nature.
We've talked about Beijing and the urban challenges, about the big projects to overcome these challenges and the Beijing citizens' relation to nature. And we've also talked about the traditional Chinese perception of nature. Tell me, Jun, you've kept us in suspense for long now. How big is the urban green space of Beijing? What are the numbers?
So from 2012 to 2020, the green space coverage in Beijing has increased from 46% to 51% in urban area. So that means we have 51% of our urban areas are, you know, are green spaces.
51% of the urban area is green space. That is indeed an impressive number in a city of 22 million inhabitants. What is your dream project for the city of Beijing in the midst of all this green space?
So, good question. Immediately, I can think of, my dreaming project is to help to link the many nature elements in and outside of Beijing into an integrated piece. Right now, Beijing has abundant green and blue spaces. However, they are largely fragmented, which means we have the very high percentage of cover, but they are highly fragmented. So we need a system that can connect the many natural-based solution sites in Beijing together, and which I believe can generate more ecosystem services and also serve the residents' well-being better. And my work will be to answer a question on how and where to, you know, build the link to incorporate all those nature-based solution sites into a functional system. So that's my dreaming project.
So nature-based solutions are definitely part of the future of Beijing?
Yeah, I think nature and NBS in Beijing are very promising because Beijing is determined to build itself into a green capital, which has been written into the master plan. So Beijing wants to be a model city, you know, for entire China. Not only being a political center, a high-tech center, a cultural center, but as a model in urban greening. So that's the reason why Beijing is seeking a title of the National Forest City.
What is the potential of this international research project of ReGreen in relation to the greening of Beijing, according to you? How can Beijing use this cooperation to get even greener?
I believe Beijing can take advantage of this cooperation in several ways. First, share of knowledge. Beijing has its own strengths, such as the rapid deployment of NBS in a large scale. Our European partners have strengths in like the sustainability of NBS by engaging citizens and the private enterprise through actions such as outreach, education, and developing commercial tools. All those things, you know, Beijing can learn and benefit. And I think Beijing's efforts to implement NBS can get a boost from the cooperation. It's important for cities to work together to address some common challenges or to support each other to implement actions that will benefit residents, but are very difficult to do. For example, if the European cities can demonstrate that NBS in highly valued lands, such as a city center, are good for livability and also can help the city to fight climate change, and they are also good for business. And the European cities share this best practice with Beijing, Beijing will face less difficulties to implement the same solution. I think at the end, the entire planet benefit from this mutual support.
I think we have slowly come to an end of this interview. Is there anything you want to add about the green city of Beijing?
Well, I think we pretty much covered the major part of the Beijing ULL. So thank you for those excellent questions. And it's really a pleasure to talk with you. And as I say, you are very welcome, you know, to visit Beijing.
Thank you very much, Jun, for taking your time to participate in the podcast. I wish you the best of luck with all the greening projects of the city of Beijing. I have definitely learned a lot about Beijing and about how a great city like this one can carry through large-scale greening projects despite rapid urbanization. Beijing is a lot greener than I had ever imagined. In the interview, I asked Jun Yang if he has noticed any big differences between how we perceive city nature in Europe compared to how it is perceived in China. He answered that the differences are definitely overshadowed by the many similarities. So let's use these similarities to continue the great work of Beijing and the other ULLs of ReGreen to green our cities and promote nature-based solutions in Europe and China and accelerate the transition towards equitable, green and healthy cities.
This podcast series is part of the ReGreen Research Project, funded by the European Horizon 2020. Learn more at regreenproject.eu.